Next up, Rob Kilgore. Good morning.
Good morning, senators, representatives, members of the commission. Thank you for your time today. I tend to be verbose and tangential, but I will try to keep that under control to keep this to a limited amount of time. Just to tell you a little bit, I am not an attorney. My name is Rob Kilgore, and I actually am staff for my wife, Taylor Kilgore, who is an attorney who does a lot of parent representation and guardian ad litem work. And so I'm the one who spends a lot of time in defender data. Just to give you a little bit about my background, I am actually uniquely qualified, I think, to offer my thoughts here because I do have a degree in public administration and I have an MBA in statistics. And I was formerly, and actually Senator Libby was a classmate of mine, so it's great to see you again, Chairman. The reason I'm now just working with my wife is because I was the director of sales for the fastest growing division of an e-commerce company when I left the company after 12 years. I was responsible for a client portfolio of over $75 million. I got tired of being gone away from my family 1 week to 2 weeks every month, and so decided to make a change here. But looking at this, I'd like to talk to you about the intersection of efficiency and technology and funding. Everyone's saying, you know, MCILS, we need to fully fund MCILS. They need more staff. And I agree, they definitely need more funding and they probably need more staff in the short term. But here's the thing about throwing bodies at an efficiency problem. Gas is always going to expand to fill a vacuum. You're never, ever going to hit a point where you can say, you know what, I think we have all the people we need. There's always going to be something more that's going to be expected of those people. So the solution to the efficiency problem here, as someone, again, who comes from the e-commerce world, I think you need to look at your technology. I think there's a lot of things, and if that means maybe even possibly going to another vendor. I don't know what your contracts look or how long you're locked in with these guys. But there's a lot of technology things that can be done to alleviate a lot of this stuff. I mean, we're looking here at I've got the report here in front of me. It says, you know, 37% of the days in which a staff person was approving vouchers, they reviewed more than 100 vouchers, allowing less than 5 minutes to review each one. That is obviously not an effective use of staff time to say, I'm going to look at this thing for 5 minutes and just approve it because it hits this list of criteria. If you have an established set of criteria that is written down and that's codified somehow, one, you could share that with the attorneys and their staff, which the report says on page 7 is not happening. And two, you can automate a lot of that. Anecdotally, very quickly, when I was at that e-commerce firm, we had a lot of field sales representatives. And a decade ago, the process was for them to fill out an order form, fax it or email it to us. And we had a whole data entry department that would then hand key those orders into our system. Well, the expense of that staff, again, gas expands to fill a vacuum. You always need more. As we grew, all of our profit growth was getting eaten up because we had to keep throwing bodies at this data entry process. So what we did is we said, we're going to create this online order portal where our sales reps can just enter their own orders into our system. We can get rid of a bunch of these data entry people or repurpose them for other things we can use them for in the company. And it'll be great. And we can offer these reps that we'll be able to process their orders faster. And that part worked. However, there was an unintended consequence. Our customer records went bonkers in terms of data wise because we basically gave the keys to the kingdom to the inmates of the asylum. You know, so anytime you say, we don't want to do the data entry, we want the people, we want a third party, this other person to do that data entry function. If you don't give them clear guidelines, you're right. You're going to have a data nightmare. We lived through it. We got through it. There's ways you can do it by automating controls in the system. Make it so that every voucher doesn't have to be looked at by a human being. Set those rules very well. Put that in the code of the system. And then your people that are reviewing vouchers are only reviewing the ones that get flagged, the ones that break those rules. That allows you to keep your staff costs under control while at the same time increasing your compliance. So it's a technology solution, guys, not a body solution. You probably need more people in the short term, but you got to realize more people is, generally speaking, just a Band-Aid, especially if you're talking about using a technology solution going forward. Don't just take the wasteful practices and then just automate those. Figure out how you can actually make a system that's going to work really, really well. That would be the number one piece of feedback I'd have for this committee, is that more funding, but think really hard about what you're spending that money on. Second, I'd like to address the pay rate issue. I agree with Jane Lang and Gray, Corey McKenna, that, you know, the money should be spent on fixing the problems, not necessarily on the rate. Because I'll tell you, My wife, Taylor, is a true believer. She does the work representing parents who are, the state is trying to take their children away from them. And she does that because she believes. She has a background in mental health. Before she went to law school, she was a mental health case manager. And she saw the struggles that her clients in that role were having working their way through the legal system. And she felt she needed to take her advocacy for them to the next level, which is why she became an attorney. The vast majority of attorneys that are working in the system, the vast majority of attorneys that I exchange emails with, setting up family team meetings and all that stuff, they are true believers. They do this work because they love it, because it's what needs to be done, because they are helping out the most vulnerable members of our society. And we shouldn't take the mission. We shouldn't forget the mission of MCILS in all of this. It's about protecting the people in our society that suffer from mental illness, addiction, and cyclical generational poverty. Those are the people that MCILS is making sure receive effective legal counsel. And that is very, very important. And just to tag a little bit of outrage onto the tail end of this, it says right here in the report, I don't have the page in front of me, I believe it was in Appendix B, that when the Sixth Amendment report came out, the media went bonkers and was like, oh, there's all these fraudulent attorneys running around and spending all the state's money on these frivolous things. And basically, no one came to the attorney's defense. Nobody. Everyone was silent. And I'm glad to hear now that to hear Mr. Tardy speak about the effective counsel. You guys all need to do it louder. Okay, just as loud as the media shouted that all the attorneys were fraudulent, when this own OPEGA report says the Sixth Amendment Committee actually didn't have the best information to work with, we should have been trumpeting that just as loud. So you guys did a real disservice, I feel, to the attorneys working for MCILS who are the true believers. Because let's not forget that right in the own report, while 97.7% of attorneys' annual fiscal totals were below 40 hours a week, instead you guys focused on the 2.3%, and that's what the media ran with, that and including these, eight bad actors? And so I would say, let's make sure that, you know, I believe that Tardy said that the more the public under a microscope, the more this will be in the public interest. And I agree, it should be in the public interest. It's important. But we need to make sure the public's getting the right information and that the people who are doing this good work are not just getting thrown under the bus. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kilgore. Are there questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, offer.